This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, our next guest has been the head coach of the Boston Celtics. He has been the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. But much more impressively to me, he has been an accomplished journalist, a sports writer for ESPN.com. I didn't know Jim O'Brien had this in him when he was the head coach here of the Celtics. Hey, Jim, if I had known you had this ability, maybe you could have taught me more about basketball. I could have given you some sports writing tips. We could have gotten along famously.
Well, I didn't know I had it in me myself, to tell you the truth.
Well, Jim, welcome. Dale's not here today. You're on with Bob Halloran, who's joining us. Did you like doing the sports writing thing, Jim?
I did. I wasn't crazy about the deadlines. You know, I hate to. They never really told me what they wanted me to write about, and kind of left it up to me. And you know, when you have something due at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you're up at 5 o'clock in the morning staring at your computer, wondering what you're going to write about, it gave me an appreciation for the print media.
You could be like some of the people on talk radio or some of the columnists in newspapers. Just throw something out there, throw something outrageous out there, and see if it sticks.
No, I definitely was not in the outrageous category.
You know what? I when LeBron James scored 25 points, 25 consecutive points in Game 5 against the Pistons, you said it was one of the best playoff performances you had seen, or if not the best. Just tell me what you thought of that and why you feel like it was in the top two or top three.
Well, I think it was the best. I just don't remember seeing somebody with such an important game on the line, on the road against a very, very good defensive team, be able to score 29 out of 30 points. To me, that represented the best performance I've ever seen in person, watching it on television or heard of, frankly. And I would, I'm sure people that are older might be able to come up with a little competition against what we saw. But it was such a stunning basketball performance that I don't know if we'll ever see the likes of it again.
You know, Jim, that praise coming from you means a lot, because I know you grew up in Philadelphia. You witnessed all those great Philadelphia-Boston playoff wars, and there was nothing you saw there that really matched what LeBron James did?
No, not you know, I've seen great teams play. I've seen great teams play a number of great games. But I've never seen one individual, whether it's Jordan, you know, or Bird or Iverson or Dr. J or anybody for that matter, carry the team at that level for 7 minutes in a fourth quarter and then two overtime games. You know, usually somebody else throws a couple baskets in there, you know, your teammates, but that didn't happen. So I think it was the best I've ever seen.
Do you think there's a possible shift happening in the Eastern Conference anyway, if LeBron James is able to get to that next kind of Michael Jordan level? Could he run off a series here of championships that would make it difficult in the East?
Well, I think that remains to be seen. I think certainly he has the offensive attributes of a Michael Jordan. But Michael Jordan was also the best defensive player in the league at the time. And I think that's the next step with LeBron. I mean, he would have to possibly, you know, bring that part of the game up. And Jordan started to run off championships when he had a cast of players highlighted by Scottie Pippen that could really help him win championships. And I think Danny Ferry is always going to be on the lookout to surround LeBron James with people that can win championships.
You know, Jim, I think you should take your obvious writing ability and write a book on how to secure a job without meeting your new boss face to face. I mean, that's an amazing story that you talked with Larry Bird four or five times over the phone, and that's led to the your hiring as Pacers coach. Is that correct?
Yes, that is accurate. You know, one of the things that I think everybody, you know, understands or they should understand is that, you know, Larry Bird and Donnie Walsh only have to ask their video people to do some editing of Boston tapes or Philadelphia tapes for them to understand how our basketball teams played. You just have to, you know, in our business, it's so public what you might bring to a franchise. You know, so they kind of knew me without really knowing me personally. So they also knew that no matter where we were, you know, our players always seemed to conduct themselves in a class fashion. And so it worked out. You know, another thing that might surprise people, I have an agent that's been that I've been with for you know, since I was with Boston. I've met him one time. I've been in front of him one time.
So you've seen your agent one time in your life?
One time. I talk to him probably four or five times a week, and he's like one of my best friends, and I've been with him one time. He had negotiated two contracts before I ever met him.
How many years had you talked to him before you saw him in person?
He had negotiated my last contract with Boston. And
did the guy look different than you thought he would look? I mean, you talked to him for two or three years, and then you saw him. Any surprises?
Not at all. You know, I really had a feeling for what he would look like. He's really a great guy, and we've developed a terrific relationship.
And he knows what Larry Bird looks like, too.
No mistaking there. All right. I want to tell you a funny story. I was talking to Rick Pitino yesterday, and Rick Pitino said, "You know what's great, Obe?" I said, "What?" He said, "Larry Bird is walking through that."
That's great.
How's Rick doing, by the way?
He's doing great. He loves Louisville, and they're going to be very, very good next year.
Well, you tell Rick, now there are some rough times here, but if he ever wants to join us, we'll be very good to him.
I don't think that's going to be happening.
You don't think Rick Pitino's coming on the station? Rick Pitino's not walking
through that door.
He would probably have some of those phone issues, maybe, that we're having today. But, Bob, go ahead and ask your question.
Jim, as we get back into the conversation, people know you from your time in Boston, short time in Philadelphia. My question is, are you going to do any – do you have a certain coaching style that you try to bring a team to play, or do you have to adapt to the talent, and are you likely to do something different in Indiana than you've done other places?
Well, defensively, we're going to be very similar. I think that's the way to defend. You know, you look at San Antonio Spurs and – I've studied them through the playoffs and through the years. Our defensive style is attempts to be very similar to San Antonio. We were the year we went to the Eastern Conference Finals, we were third in the league defensively. So that's pretty much a grind out way we're going to play it. Offensively, you have to adapt to your players. You cannot dribble the ball down and just set up anymore. The defenses are too good. Everyone studies the offense as well. I think you have to push and try to get the defense back on their heels and try to get a good early shot with the emphasis on good. And if not, then you have to go to your set offense.
You know, Jim, I was saying to Bob earlier when you were away, I said I was very critical of the way the Celtics played with the three-point attempts when you were here. But I didn't realize how good I had it at the time because you're still the last coach to lead the Celtics out of the first round. Danny Ainge took this job and said he believed the team had maxed out. It wasn't going any further. Did you agree with that assessment?
There's a yes and no to that. What Danny said, and I think he was very accurate, that we did not have the personnel to win a championship. And I think that was right. We probably overachieved to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. However, I would have preferred to keep that group together longer, to be able to have proof of where we could take that particular group. I think that we would have continued to be a very, very strong team. I think we would have continued to be a playoff team and a team that could win in the playoffs. But Danny and ownership, to their credit, want to win championships. And they thought the best way to do that was to start right at that time to disband that group and start to build towards a future that was their prerogative. But at the time, we had gone from 15 wins and through a brutal couple years before we could get them into the Eastern Conference Finals, and I thought they were best served with somebody else.
You didn't have the personnel to win a championship. We did see that. What do you think you needed here to get there? I mean, what player or what players were missing the types to get you to a championship level?
Well, I think we did not have an inside low post presence of a big man. Our best low post player was Paul Pierce. We were able to use him in a low post because you had to honor Antoine Walker from the perimeter. But you need a tough guy in the low post to be able to score. Now, you look at the teams, you can always look at Duncan, and we probably still would be there. I would be there as an assistant coach probably still if we had gotten Duncan. But you also turn around and you look at Cleveland. They have a great, great perimeter guy in LeBron James. But Ilgauskas can still put points on the board down in the low post. We never had that. We also did not have, for the future, Kenny Anderson was getting old. We did not have, a great point guard.
Jim, this may be a difficult question for you to answer now that you're no longer
sure.
Just a journalist but a coach of a rival team. But are the Celtics closer or further away from being a championship team than when you left?
Well, I know for a fact that we were not a championship team when I left. I know that, and I think that was a very objective and sound evaluation that was done at the point in time. I think they are building with players. I'm a huge Jefferson fan, huge. As a matter of fact, when I was at Philadelphia and we drafted Iguodala, I was, when we listed our first round picks and how we would list them, I had him, I think, seventh or eighth. And the people at Philadelphia looked at me like I was crazy. I just thought Jefferson was going to be that good. So I think they have a number of weapons. I don't know how long it's going to take them. I know they are totally dedicated to getting it done. And, rebuilding is a long and tough process.
And I agree with you, Jim. If you had Tim Duncan, the Celtics not only would have 17 up there, they'd have 18, 19, and maybe 20. I mean, the guy is great.
Yeah, I believe that.
How about the guys, the kids who are coming out now, Oden and Durant? Before, I'd say a couple months before the lottery, there was a debate, and now it seems pretty clear that Oden is the number one pick. How quickly can either of those guys turn a franchise around, in your opinion?
I think Durant is going to have a dramatic impact immediately. I think if he plays 35 minutes a game, I think he can average 20 to 25 points a game. I think he will be dumbfounded with how good these other guys are offensively, and I think he'll struggle defensively. But he's going to put some big-time numbers on the board. Oden, I think it's going to take him a couple years before he is a dominant player.
Why is that?
I don't think he has enough experience. We've observed him. I think he'll be better utilized in the pros than the way you could utilize him as a player in college because of the rules. I think he's got all the talent in the world, but I think there's a maturation period for most human beings. Now LeBron was a different story. He just walked on the first game and seemed comfortable. I think Durant will be that way offensively. I just think Oden will take a little bit longer.
So is it a clear number one, number two pick for you as well, or does it sound like you might favor Durant slightly?
Well, I think for the long haul, I would take Oden number one. That would be my opinion.
I would ask you about you're a former college basketball head coach.
Yeah.
And you know the difference between the college game and the pro game. This Billy Donovan situation is fascinating to me on a couple of levels. One, making the transition, if he had taken the job in Orlando or stayed with it, making the transition from college to the pros, but more specifically, the switch of agreeing to a contract and then going back to Florida. Jay Billis on ESPN.com called it unprofessional. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with it being unprofessional. I think that you can't separate emotions out of big decisions. Should have he given it more thought prior to making the decision? Probably. I think he would agree with that. I don't think there's any question that you would agree with it. But one of the things that I remember saying to our basketball team when we had just made a big trade with Cleveland and Eric Williams left, I think Tony Petit left, and our team was devastated to see these guys leave. And I just want to – there's an analogy here. I said to our team, and I said, unless a trade is painful, it means that the people that are leaving you, it means that they're not coming, that we did not do our job. You've been successful when change is very, very hard to stomach. And I think in Billy's case, not until he got in front of his players, and this sounds corny, did he realize how important they were to him and how much he loved them. And he's a great, great guy. And I'm sure it's very, very painful for him to back out on Orlando. And I'm sure, the old hindsight, if you had it all over to do again, he would have not made it as quick a decision.
Hey, Jim, I'm curious about what everybody talks about with college coaches moving into the NBA, and in recent years they have not had a lot of success. Do you have an analysis as to why that is?
Yeah, they take over bad teams. and I haven't done the study, nor have I seen a study like this done. But if you look at right across the board, the way guys perform, whether you're a former NBA coach or former NBA assistant or a college coach, how guys perform in their first year or two when they take over teams that have not been in the playoffs or a rebuilding team. You don't have a lot of success. It's not that there's no magic at the NBA level. You can't go out and out-recruit somebody. It's a talent league. And if your talent is less in the NBA over 82 games than 25 of the other teams you're competing against, you're going to get your teeth kicked in. And all these guys that they talk about, Rick and Tarkanian and Kruger and Tim Floyd, they inherited bad, bad basketball teams. And you can be the best coach in the world, and some of them, frankly, were, and you're just not going to win. Billy Donovan would have been different. He would have, they would have been in the playoffs. He would have improved the team, and not many college coaches get the chance that Billy was getting.
I always tell the story about Rick, Jim. There are many times just sitting there close to the bench, I'd hear him say, "Okay, we're going to do this. We're going to run this play for a layup," and exactly that would the exact thing that he said was going to happen. What happened? I mean, he can X and O with the best of them, can't he?
He's a great coach. I think when all is said and done, he'll be a Hall of Fame coach. What he has done, and we were all so close to it, you guys from a media standpoint, and you know, me as his associate coach. We were so close to the situation. You know, improving a team from 15 to 36 games is pretty dramatic, frankly. Our frustration that, you know, drove us almost crazy and drove Rick to go back to college was that we could not get it to the next level as quickly as we would like. And when Rick became so frustrated and he was going to resign, you know, I said, Rick, we're so close. And he said, oh, I agree with you. We're going to be a pretty good team here in the next 2 years, but I'm not going to be coaching them. You're going to be coaching them. So it's hard. He's a great coach.
Final question before we let you go.
Yeah.
Who wins the finals?
San Antonio. I picked them as a writer. I picked them at the beginning of the year, and you know, I'm not a betting man, nor could I, but I thought that they would be the team that would be left standing at the end, and I think they're just too strong, too experienced for Cleveland.
Probably a short series, 5 games?
I think if it went more than 5 games, they ought to double Mike Brown's salary.
Well said.
Well, Jim, thanks for being patient with us through all the drop connections. Really enjoyed talking with you today.
It's great talking to you guys, and I look forward to doing it in the future.
Absolutely, and good luck with the Pacers.
Thank you. I need it, and I intend to have it.
All right.
Okay, all right. Jim O'Brien, former Celtics coach, former 76ers coach, and now the head coach of the Indiana Pacers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.